Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, before we delve into things, I just want to tell you about our Liverpool streaming service. It is Redmen Plus. Get involved over there for extra Redmen shows in video form, in podcast form. You've got documentaries, features, interviews, and a hell of a lot more besides. If you join as a club legend, you get the Discord chat, you'll get free merchandise and a host of extra bonus perks. It's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. Get over there, get involved. Otherwise, let's face it, you're going to miss out on amazing Liverpool stuff in your life. Hello everyone, welcome to the build-up show. Liverpool go into the breach one final time before the World Cup comes and either has a devastating effect on our lives or, you know, provides a welcome distraction from the misery of the globe in general. Maybe somewhere in between, who knows? Anyway, yes, Southampton, it is me, Paul Machin. I'm joined by Abigail Rudkin. I am joined by Jamie Cranford as well for this one. Let's dive into it then, guys. Yeah, I mean, Abby, this is where we're at. One more game, whatever will be after that. There's nothing Liverpool are going to do here that's going to fix their season. But in terms of maybe just rounding the edges off our own, I don't know, mental anguish or whatever that we're going to have to deal with, a win's important for a whole variety of reasons. But psychologically, going into a huge gap of no Liverpool would be much more bearable if we can go into it on a win.
Yeah, definitely. But then at the same time, a part of me is like, oh, we're just finally starting to win games. Yeah. And then this big, massive break hits us. Do you know what I mean? But the 3 points are important. I just want Brighton and Chelsea to lose just so we can go up to six. Because if we can get to sixth going into that World Cup break, it doesn't look so bad. You know, if we're in the top six and we're going for, look, at this point, we're going for top four, aren't we? If we can be in the top six, everything feels like a bit more of a breath of fresh air. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So, yeah, I am looking forward to it just for that as well.
Well, no, exactly. It's small goals, Jamie. That's where we're at. You know, we can forget the title. It's a pointless conversation. Yeah. It's one for science fiction writers at this point, and that's to say not impossible, but it's a waste of oxygen at this point. What we've kind of said, we've had to reevaluate our targets, and our targets were get out of the Champions League group, progress in the League Cup, and be within touching distance of top four. That the last one is the least, weirdly, the least sexy of the whole thing because we've gotten used to better.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at. That's the reality of the situation, and that's what the players are going to have to play for.
Yeah, I'd spent the last couple of months having the World Cup. If we can just get through to the World Cup, if we can just scrape some results. And now I'm thinking I'd actually like us to play some more games
because
we've had a few decent results in a row. We've had a few convincing victories. We held on for dear life against Spurs at times. I mean, obviously, it's a changed team last night, but it's still there's still like a bit of a fun factor with winning on penalties and the young lads getting a run out. So yeah, it is almost a bit of a shame that we want to that we've got a break. But I think with the top four thing, it would be I've been sort of looking at the league through my fingers. Like I'll be like, I'll just hold my phone quite far away. And go, But it would be nice to see us at least in touching distance.
But we did. We when I was on Sky a couple of weeks ago, they had to create a top 11 graphic
to put Liverpool
on it, and then it got used the next day on the broadcast, and everyone was complaining, oh, they've made this for Liverpool. They genuinely made it because they had me on the discussion, and the night before there was a game, I think there was a game on a Friday night which pushed, I think Brentford played the night before, and it pushed us down to 11, so they just, rather than have, it was hilarious. But you're right, it's been hard looking at the league table. We will do that now, because I've purposely been avoiding it for weeks because it's just been a miserable experience. It's one of those where you could just do with Liverpool. Liverpool just need to win to allow us to look at the league table. But you mentioned it, and I think you were spot on there, Abby, is you don't want to be... This is the problem when you're fighting for fourth, is there's a lot of football teams around there that you need to start dropping points. Mm. It was miserable when we thought, let's just have City drop points. But when you're asking like 3, 4 and 5 teams to start dropping it, Liverpool need to focus on them. And, you know, our target is we're on 19 points for the season so far. Finish this on 22. And as you say, there's a chance you're in sixth. Yeah. You're then still not great. You know, even if everyone above us lost, you know, you're still a couple of wins away from, and another week of everyone losing away from being able to consider being in top four. But the reality is the reality. We can get bogged down in it, and we can choose to get arsy about it, but it's done now. If we can say Liverpool have gone into this having won the final four games before the mid-season break, then we'd have all taken that 2 weeks ago prior to those four games.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Then we'd have took it, you know what I mean? The actual state that we've been in recently, that's the thing with the Southampton game, though. Every time we've won this season, I've gone, OK, now we're going to go on a winning run, now we're going to go on a winning run, and then we lose the next one. So I'm scared to say it, do you know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Especially when, like, Leeds and Forest, like, the results of those games, like, I wouldn't have even have predicted us to lose them, do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm trying to be, like, apprehensive about it all, but... Six is bad, but the conversation is the top six. So to be in the top six just going into this break, it gives me a little like sigh of relief of, oh, we're not in that 11th anymore.
But moreover, we've been rubbish. We won our first away game of the season at the weekend in November. Mm. And if we can be within a couple of games of those other clutcher teams, it goes to show, that nobody's talking about this being a catastrophic season for Man United, because that's where they're at. They're used to being in this kind of form, and they're all feeling quite upbeat because they've got a new manager and they've got a decent style of play. Chelsea have got a new manager in, you know, started well. They're starting to have issues now. They've lost a couple of games that they would have been expected to win. You know, there's teams there. Tottenham Hotspur can't beat any of the teams in that who they're fighting for these places with. So, as much as we're conditioned now to be like, oh God, well, we need to win every game. If our ambitions have had to be reset, at like third or fourth, then there's a far better chance of these things, because they're all a bit crap as well.
It's just so irritating to be back in the position where I have to check so many other teams' scores. Do you know what I mean?
It's more likely that one of them will give you a day break. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. But like the last couple of seasons, the only other team I've checked, well, obviously I check Man United because I like to check if they've lost or Everton. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But one that I've really actually cared about is Man City. So the fact that I have to keep an eye on like the likes of Brighton and Newcastle and all that, now I'm finding it like excruciating. Painful, to be honest, but you know, it could be a lot worse, the state we've been in. Yeah. Like, we are closer to the bottom than we are to the top, but I have like full faith. Do you know what I mean? I do have full faith, but my negativity is just creeping in. When I got the table up before and I realised how congested everything is on the table, it's ridiculous, but I don't like looking at all the different teams.
No, it isn't.
It's my weekend.
But it's right though, because it's an odd place to be in, isn't it, Jamie? I mean, it's not, because Christ, Liverpool, in my time supporting the club, in the Premier League era, I supported them for a couple of years before the Premier League started, but I was a kid, barely capable of understanding really what the whole thing was about. But we've always been a team that's never been a consistently title challenging team.
No.
We've always been a cup team, and we've been a team that could, if a good headwind got behind it, we could make a push for the challenge every now and again. We've been a title challenging team, or at least, and even during the COVID season when it all fell to bits, we were still at that level of squad, just the players weren't available to us to be able to put it out on the pitch. But so that's why it's so odd this season. It's like, have we regressed? Are we going back into that pack? But you forget about it. You forget what it's like on a week-to-week basis. Yeah. You forget that there's always a crisis club. And Liverpool have been that for a few weeks. And that's one of the things about beating Spurs is it just feels a little bit like, OK, FSG up trying to sell the football club in the last week before the World Cup hasn't helped with this. But the spotlight on the pitch certainly has kind of started to move away. The circus has moved on to other clubs, back onto Chelsea.
Spurs and Chelsea now, isn't it? Yeah. I think the thing, given that we've been challenging for the title the last few seasons, you can kind of look on the top four battle dispassionately. And the amount of teams that kind of bugger it up, like we've had Leicester do it a couple of times.
Yep.
Arsenal were in the box seat. Like you always get it where it's like, oh, they're definitely going to come fourth.
Yeah.
And then it's, which we have done twice, but they've lost to the team in the bottom three or something. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So I think I've seen a thing like, oh, we need to get 70 points or we need to go at some ridiculous points per game, like when it's never going to happen. I think we don't, we just need to be better than whoever's in fifth. Now, if they go at a high pace, then we will have to match them. But all of these, I think Newcastle are a difficult kind of wild card because they could reinforce in January. They're looking pretty good. I thought Spurs were a banker for top four because of just Conte's experience and his quality. And then you've got Man U and Chelsea. And I feel like Brighton will eventually have to fall away because they won't have as deep a squad as all the rest of them. But you never know. So
no, it's entirely possible. But there's doors or spots that are left open during the season, normally when the top teams don't get their act together. Yeah. And it will be interesting to see what happens with Chelsea this season, whether Graham Potter's able to, you know, is this a transition season for him? You know, they've got injury problems. They've got a new ownership structure in place. They haven't got all the football people in place above them. They're a bit of a basket case. And, you know, I'd said this pre-season is, can Tuchel hold them together long enough to be able to just get them back into the top four and then reboot? Well, they got rid of him, they got rid of the experience, got rid of the European Cup winner and brought in Graham Potter, you know, and is he going to have the strength of character or experience to guide them through this? In terms of his managerial progression, if they scrape into the top four, that's like the biggest achievement, you know, or the most significant in terms of the highest they'll ever finished in his managerial career. So they've got that kind of battle, and no one knows Newcastle. How will Eddie Howe cope if they do decide that January's the time to start buying loads of names in? Well, that's the first time they're going to have to deal with, if you're the 11, 12, 13, 15 lads who've gotten Newcastle into the top four, and then all of a sudden here come the big guns. Yeah. Well, how do you maintain squad harmony in a situation where it's like, well, hang on, Dan Burns, like, well, hang on a second. I'm the guy who's been keeping the clean sheets. We've had the best defensive record with me in here. Now you're bringing in this other guy. That'll be interesting to follow. And who knows with Tottenham? They should be fine because Conte's good. But everyone's a mess. And I'm just hoping, and I think we're all like this, aren't we? That with the World Cup break, Jürgen gets a chance to reboot. Jürgen and Pep sit around and they work it all out, and they get a bit of a new pre-season for some of these guys, get the fitness right, which we clearly got so badly wrong in the summer, and then say, okay, well, here's the fresh targets, kind of go at it from like year zero. No point in, lads. Yeah. Like, you know, the whole it's nil-nil in the second half, pretend it's a fresh game and go for it. But again, it goes back to the significance of just beating Southampton, because I think if you lose to Southampton, those conversations aren't, whew, well done, lads, we've got in here, everyone sit down, put your feet up, let's work this out. There's a lot of shouting that has to happen still, because it's another one of those relegation fodder teams, you know, will effectively have lost to another team that's currently in the bottom three.
Yeah, definitely. The break's definitely coming at a good time for us in a way, because we have been trying like the 4-4-2, 4-2-4 formation, and it just weren't working, and we've switched back to 4-3-3. So I'm hoping, because I was quite a fan of it, you know what I mean? There was a bit of an excitement there, you know what I mean? So I'm hoping maybe we can spend a little time on improving that. I think we've only got about 5-6 players going to the World Cup, so most of them are going to Dubai, aren't they, for like a training camp thing, so hopefully we can improve on things there. It does feel like the like breather that we really needed, do you know what I mean? Because it just felt like it was never ending. But like I said before, the moment we start to pick up a little bit, and I'm actually enjoying going to the game and watching Liverpool, and like just starting to, like you were saying, peeking behind your hands at the table, yeah. just starting to have like a tiny like look at things. Even like the way we finished in the Champions League, do you know what I mean? All that sort of made me hopeful for the rest of the season. Yeah. So the fact that there's a break here, it does have, it's probably more positive than negative. And I was literally begging for it about 3 weeks ago. Yeah. And now it's here. I'm like, oh, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I'm personally hoping for. I totally agree with that. A couple of weeks ago, I'd be like, right, end it now. You know what I mean? Let them all go for international duty now, fine, whatever. Like,
end
you
mean, season.
Yeah, just have to avoid the whole thing. It's fine. Whereas that'd be nice to get to that point at the end of the week, and we go, oh, actually, I could do with another game here midweek or next week or whatever. So no, that is good, and I want us to be excited about getting through to the next round of the League Cup and knowing that we're not back on Boxing Day now. We're going to be back on the 20th or the 21st.
2 days after the final, isn't it?
Yeah. So you know whether what Liverpool side that is kind of irrelevant. It means Liverpool are effectively coming back a week early, so we've got one less week to wait. Whereas if you go in a bad note, you're like, fuck them. God, let them have it. You know what I mean? Like I want them to have an extra time off, you know, because I don't want to see these shower bastards anytime soon. Southampton, a couple of things. Obviously, what should hopefully help us, obviously, is how heavily Liverpool rotated. We'll talk about that a bit more in part two when we're picking our team. Of course, Southampton played midweek, beat Wednesday on penalties. New manager bounce syndrome potentially incoming. Jamie, Nathan Jones taking the job, Luton manager. The ninth in the championship, so you know we're not talking about a high profile manager who's going to come in with a ton of, you know, an amazing reputation from what I'm told. He was good at Luton, really struggled at Stoke, he's back at Luton and went back to Luton, done a decent job. I'm hoping this isn't like a Brighton kind of effect.
Yeah.
Although of course they were going well and he's brought a bit of continuity. I'm hopeful that these are just still in the doldrums a bit. I hope James Ward-Prowse is dead miserable and has got and doesn't feel like there's any point in proving a point to Gareth Southgate. I can't be arsed with all the little side narratives that normally come around to bite us.
Yeah, I mean, does anybody actually know if the new man? Has anyone crunched the numbers on the new manager bounce? I don't know how you'd need a PhD, certainly, wouldn't you? With these people, like. Managers that get promoted up a division, that it can be a bit sink or swim. Like, I think there was a guy went from Forest Green to, was it Watford? Or there's been a few people who've gone up one or two divisions and have been sacked within 3 months since the start of the season. Yeah. But then you get the odd one where somebody's, I guess like Potter, I mean, I suppose it's a bit different with Potter coming from, was it Denmark or Sweden? That was a promotion, but he's obviously some people take to it like a duck to water. I'm hoping we've been like the Blues over there. Like, if you need a win to sort your season out, we've been the ones who've been providing it this year, which we've not normally.
Yeah,
it's not. But as Everton the last few years, it's been like beleaguered manager, blah blah blah. Oh no, where's your win? You're going to Everton.
Yeah, Liverpool have been like a points bank for people who really, really sort of need it. Like, I mean, we go, no, we've got care. We care for the Premier League community. Yeah. Here. Like, I mean, you're really strong. Don't worry. Come on. We'll sort you out. 3 points. Steve Cooper, thanks so much for your time working at Liverpool Academy. You know what we're going to box you off with? Home win there, mate. Home win in front of your crowds, no problem whatsoever. I agree. That needs to stop imminently. Let's be perfectly honest on that. Look, to the point of Southampton, they've got a minus 12 goal difference after 14 games. You know, they don't score goals. They don't concede the most in the league, but they've got amongst the worst defensive records so far.
Yeah.
His job, you imagine, is to come in and galvanise them, give them a bit of a spring in the step, and you might see that. But again, if we were going away, I'd be slightly more concerned about that, Abby. It's Anfield. Hopefully, we're all in a better headspace. We want to give the boys a big send off as well, and just my gut feeling on this is this goes more. I'm saying we're gonna do a 9-0 demolition job here, but this should be a game where if Liverpool get it right, they should be looking at a proper. I don't care how we win ultimately, but we should be able to manage a comfortable win here if we do all the right things.
We should definitely, and I think if we perform the way we did in the first half against Spurs, then we'll be fine. We'll be flying. Do you know what I mean? But then that second half creeps around, and it's like the Liverpool we've been seeing all season. Do you know what I mean? So, it's just, I don't know. I keep getting the Leeds game in my mind. Yeah, you know, I just hope the atmosphere gets up for it. Do you know what I mean? Because that is so important, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It really is.
And the, look, and the approach to this, and again, I go back to mentioning the rotation and stuff. Liverpool are going to put everything they've got, they're putting all the firepower, they've taken no risks there. There's a couple of players that they quite clearly could have put in. You know, like you could have started Darwin Nunez in midweek. You could have started Javier, you could have started Roberto Firmino, you could have started Salah. You know what I mean? Salah doesn't even make it on the bench, because, you know, to the point, we've been playing two games a week. Salah's not going to play a game now until, we might not even play the League Cup game, you know, before Christmas. It's going to be 6 weeks before he plays a competitive game, you know, other than this one at the weekend. But I do wonder if there's a little bit of that. It's like, right, the mission here is, in front of the crowd, go and put on a show. Yeah. Go and put on a show for all the fans, all the ones who've maybe been sitting on the fence or creeping back towards the fence from the side of positivity, and say, look, you know, we're going to hopefully lead us out. I don't know if they're going to do a lap of honour or appreciation for a mid-season or whatever, but, you know, what you want is fist bumps from Klopp. You want the players all, you know, coming up to the crowd and giving it this. You want to be able to sing the songs and hopefully carry us out in a good spirit. Right, we've brought to you in association with BetMate. Let's just catch up on where we've been so far. So if you're not familiar with this, what you do for each week on BetMate is you pick a squad or a team of seven players, and then you pick your subs as well, a maximum of six from each football team. This week we've got a pot that's going to be Liverpool and Southampton exclusive for that. We're going to be introducing that in part two, of course. But let's have a little look at how we got on last week. Hopefully we've got those graphics ready and queued up. There you go. The Redmen guessed the count, so no pressure, guys. Finished 13th with 55 points. Pajak got 52, I got 49, and of course Steve propping it up on 45.5 on that. Yeah, so very, 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 very good indeed. The overall league title, league table so far, is looking quite healthy for me as well. Look at that, that's good. Leading the way in terms of most points and most cash won as well, for 495 points so far for me this season, £103 in the bank. Redmen Pajak there in second place, 477.5. Steers crept above the guests.
That's what I was gonna say.
It's been a couple of weeks since I've seen you paid attention to this. Steers actually crept up. So there's an opportunity here for you two in part two to pick a team that puts Steve back in his place.
Yeah, we will.
I feel like I'm here about once every 3 weeks, and Steve is always last. So I don't know how he's above the guest. We need to redress the balance for the guests.
And I think we come last the week I did it. I'm convinced we did.
Right. You can get involved. If you want to use the QR code that was on screen or whatever, or you can use the link in the description underneath to download the BetMate app. It is very, very good fun indeed, and we're going to be picking that in part two. Anyway, before we come back for that, we've got a trivia question. The trivia question is, when was the last time we lost to Southampton at Anfield? Answers after this. Hey everyone, football as we know and love it is coming to an end, but the party doesn't stop, it only kicks off. And Chris Pajak, where and when is that party going to be?
It's going to be in Coyote Ugly, everybody, 13th of November, that's a Sunday, 4 p.m. till 8 p.m. We're getting drunk, you're getting drunk, get involved.
Who's going to be there, Steve?
You're going to be there, I'm going to be there, Chris is going to be there, Chloe, Steve, Dan, the whole Redmen team, and of course, every wonderful Redmen Plus subscriber gets the chance to be there as well.
Yes, if you're an existing subscriber to Redmen Plus, then you're to two tickets. If you sign up today, you will be emailed a code to get your tickets to the event as well. So yes, the day after the final game of the mid-season, come and have a party in Liverpool with us at Coyote Ugly. It's gonna go off, it's gonna be us, it's gonna be laughs, it's gonna be
dreams. Am I allowed to dance on the bar?
Yes,
you and the Coyote Ugly girls on the bar.
I cannot wait for this.
Yes, go to redmenplus.com and sign up. Yeah, music from the Ragamuffins, Dave Jags and us in a big room together having a chat. What more could you want to do? You come and join us. Join up redmenplus.com.
I'm going to have to go. I need to work on my dance moves.
Free tickets. All the best.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yes, if you want to come and have a party with us this Sunday, Liverpool are obviously taking their extended break or going to the World Cup or whatever, like Trent and Hendo. But we're going to be partying in town. If you join up at redmenplus.com right now, your welcome email will contain a code to get you 2 free tickets to Sunday's event. But obviously, if you don't get that sorted sooner rather than later, there'll come a point where you might not be able to get it sorted. Just get it sorted and then you can come and have a bevy with us on Sunday. Again, just to point out, it's Coyote Ugly. It is exactly how it sounds. It is literally based on the film. And some people are like, oh, I've not seen Coyote Ugly. That's fine. But we all get the concept. It's like they have people dancing and singing on the bar. We've been told for our onstage bit, we're going to be on the bar. Chris Pajak stood on the bar. That's just...
In a little pair of cut-off denim shorts.
Oh, my God, please. Like cowboy boots as well.
Yeah.
It whatever, has to happen now.
Whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
I'll buy them. You can borrow mine.
Yeah. It's hard. We'll be back.
I don't want that image to come into my head at some point in the future.
Will it ever leave again? Yeah. Is the important question.
Yeah.
Right, sounds. Yeah, thank you so much for everyone. Of course, who has got the tickets already. We're going to have a very good time with you guys, just hanging out, chilling, listening to some live music and watching Chris Pajak strip on the bar. The question before the break was, when was the last time we lost to Southampton at Anfield? Jamie, you seem quite confident.
I had
with
a
this.
Feeling that it was a Dejan Lovren goal for 1-0 Southampton, but that might not have been at Anfield. But then Abby's come on, and I think she's right.
So hold on a moment.
Was I wrong?
The game that you are in fact thinking of. Let me just double check because I think you're absolutely spot on here. Yeah, the game that Jamie is thinking of was back in September. 21st of September 2013,
yeah.
And it was a Dejan Lovren 1-0 win for Southampton.
And that was at Anfield.
However, we have lost more recently than that.
2017?
Was it? Abigail McKinnon from out of nowhere.
You know what?
The 25th of January, League Cup semi-final, second leg, Liverpool 0, Southampton 1, and the goal scored by...
Who was it?
Shane Long.
Yeah. The 90th minute.
Oh, well.
Wow. To kind of hammer home the point, which I think is quite interesting, though, our home form against them is absolutely stupendous.
Yeah.
I'll get it up just so we can have a quick look through the more recent stuff. But last season, beat them 4-0. Season before that, beat them 2-0. Season before that, beat them 4-0. Before that, 3-0. 3-0. And then we drew in May 2017, obviously lost that League Cup game. Over the last 5 years, we basically batter them at Anfield on a consistent basis, which is why I'm hoping that we can have more of the same here at the weekend. Let's hope we can put a team together for that. James Milner should be back. I was a little surprised that even though he'd come out of the concussion protocols, that's easy for me to say, that he wasn't involved at all in the midweek winners. Yeah. That's the League Cup team is James Milner's time to shine normally and has been for a number of years. So, you know, he should definitely be back for this. Curtis Jones was absent, and I had a rumour that he'd had a reoccurrence of the things that he's had already this season. The going thing, but
I thought he would play. Yeah.
He was the first person I thought would play. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I was really surprised, and then I was looking at the bench and I was so confused. But nothing on social media was telling me what. No one asked any questions.
Nothing at all. I asked Neil Jones earlier, and he said that was news to him. He'd heard nothing, so it might just be one of those scouse rumours where you, as it always happens, we're loads more susceptible to the scouse rumour when things are bad. Yeah. You know, like the whole like Klopp was leaving round the tweets that went out during the COVID season, and everyone genuinely believed it was happening. According to PremierInjuries.com, at the moment, the six who are being on a watch list, obviously we know Diaz is out. Apparently, according to Pep Linders, he started running today, so that puts him on track for being back for the return of the footy, hopefully the League Cup, if not the Boxing Day game.
The relief of that, honestly, the relief of it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Diogo Jota, the talk is he'll be a little bit longer. He's a bit further behind. No one really knows on our tour just yet. Naby Keita's listed here as a 25% chance of playing, but he was another one who had a setback, got back to fitness and then missed out at the weekend again. Which, I mean, conspiracy theories will continue.
Fueling the rumour mill loads, isn't he? An old Naby at the moment.
Yeah, still unlikely for Joel Matip, of course, as well. Broadly what it means is we kind of know what to expect. It's going to be a lot of what we've seen of late, really. And I guess the only thing that might alter some decisions in this, Abby, is the Derby game in midweek. You know, not loads of senior players in there. I'm not sure anyone's played their way into starting contention, but is there anyone from that performance that you'd think, oh, I wouldn't mind a little look on the bench?
Ben Doak, is it? Come on. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Literally, like, I was in Upper Main, so I couldn't read his name on the back of his shirt. So I was just going, I think it was 50.
Well.
I was like, number 50? I was like, oh, my God. Who's that? And literally unbelievable, weren't he? Literally ran the show.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
He's one. I think there's three players in that side, Jamie, who none of whom I would expect to start this because we're going as strong as possible for it. But if you told me that Stefan Pajetić, Calvin Ramsey, and Ben Doak were on the bench for the weekend, I'd be made up for all three of them because I thought in different ways, I thought they all got a chance to show what they were capable of in that game.
Yeah, they were all good. I could definitely see them maybe starting the odd, maybe not Doak, but I could see him, you never know with our injuries, I could see him on the bench maybe as the season goes on when he's had more, because let's face it, he's only had four or five months at the club, hasn't he? But he's just got that raw thing of just, it's like schoolyard football, isn't it? I'm just going to rip you and try and get a shot off or try and get a pass off. It's nice to see that almost like unschooled thing because it's all, you always hear it, don't you, of like, he needs to work on how he integrates with the team. You're like, no, just want him to play like FIFA Street and just take four people on and have a shot. You know?
No, and we were having a good chat about him. And I just done Journal Insight with Neil Jones from Goal. And, you know, we were chatting about the impact of the young players and, you know, what a stellar impact he's had on the youth league team for Liverpool so far in Doak. Mm. There's something about those guys with the electric pace over a couple of yards, which just takes them past the player. It gets you on the edge of your seat. And he's not going to be an integral part of the first team Liverpool squad. He's 16 years old.
It's just exciting to see players like that, do you know what I mean?
And particularly for the front three where, you know, we've got the three lads now. It's Darwin, it's Bobby and it's Salah. They're your three established lads.
Yeah.
We've tried a bit of Curtis Jones in there and he's been absolutely fine. We don't know what his fitness levels are like for this. Mm. We've seen Ox play in the front three before. Harvey can do a little bit. Carvalho can do a little bit. But none of them, maybe Ox, but none of them are lightning. And there is just something too. If you wanted to shift it round and you wanted to push Salah central, for example, I could see a worse world than putting Ben Doak on for 10 minutes at the end of a match and just saying, go and challenge some people.
Well, that's why I love watching the cup games earlier on because you do get to see, because it's not like I don't really watch loads of the academy, which I probably should watch more of it really, but it sort of shows me what they're doing, and do you know what I mean? It like puts a few names in my head, do you know what I mean? So now I really enjoyed watching them yesterday. Ramsey as well, like I don't mind if he's on the bench and comes on for Trent like every week. Like he was really good.
It would be nice to see him take his place in the squad, his proper place in the squad, Jamie, and that is right now it's not quite what Kostas is to Robbo, is in a far heavier rotation.
Yeah.
But I want to see if Trent's going to come off, and he has done a lot. We've been trying to limit Trent's minutes because he's played far too much football. I think he's played the third most minutes of anyone in the Liverpool squad this season. 20 minutes at the end of the game, so you don't need to put James Milner to right back.
Yeah.
Put Calvin Ramsey in there now. He's had a couple of little appearances under his belt. He's played a couple of games under 21, scored a couple of goals at that level as well. Now he's played the League Cup game. I don't care about the game state anymore. It's Southampton. There should be no issues with, even if you're chasing a goal and you have to bring Trent on, if you keep him on, by the way, but if you have to bring him off because of sports science, bring Calvin Ramsey on.
Yeah, especially with the five subs.
Yes.
You know, it is good because we've been, especially when we weren't playing well, I mean, it reached a kind of crisis point when Milner was selected at right back against City, and thankfully he was brilliant, but there was that thing like, oh God, we've left.
What was it, Leeds the other week though, when the game's not going our way, and that was the one where people got a bit upset about Milner coming on for Trent.
Especially because we've let Williams go and got good money for him, to be fair. Then we've signed a lad and he's he's immediately injured, like a load of our other players. And then you've got the Gomez playing there, and then Matic goes out, and it's like, oh my God. What? But he certainly put in a good display last night, and just with that little bit of experience, I wouldn't be averse to putting him in now.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the only thing where I think there's any real question of where people start, Robbo will come back in. Yeah. Left back, Trent will play right back. It'll be Virgil and Konate at centre half.
Definitely.
The front three will be the front three, and then it's just I think Thiago starts if he's available as always, and then you've got two from Hendo, Fabinho and Harvey, and it'll be interesting to see because Hendo doesn't start last weekend, he doesn't play in the midweek. There's no reason why he won't come into this, but it might actually be one of those games where it gives you a little inkling of. It's called picking his strongest team, or the team he thinks is most capable of breaking these down. Yeah. It'd be interesting to see who's in the six, and therefore who's in the eight. Well, and if you had to put yourself in Jurgen Klopp's shoes, what do you reckon he'll do?
So, is Henderson all right now? Did he have was it an injury that he had?
I think he's out.
Was it? Because everyone was saying he had an injury, so I was a bit like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if Klopp had throw him in to start him if he's still got an issue, but I just don't see him making any changes from Spurs, to be honest with you. I still think we'll see Fab, Thiago, Harvey in a 4-3-3, keep it to a 4-3-3, because I just, as much as I like the 4-2-4 or 4-4-2, whatever you want to call it, stresses me out a bit.
No, it is. I think we've all been coming back to this, haven't we, Jamie, where everyone just feels a bit more relaxed because it's so recognisable, the patterns of player back in 4-3-3.
Yeah.
I got what we were trying to do, but we had no midfielders when we were trying to do it, and we had loads of forwards. Now we haven't got loads of forwards, and we've got more midfielders available to choose from. So the 4-3-3 does make sense. We're at home as well, you know, and that should be a big part. But it's the Fabinho thing for me. And I don't quite know what Southampton we're going to get, of course, and that'll be the difference with the new manager. If they come out at us, then maybe you want a Fabinho in there, or at least the idea of what Fabinho should be, and not necessarily what he's been this season. If you think it's going to be a game where they're just going to try and defend for the lives and play for a draw, then there's no reason why you can't put Hendo in the six and then put Harvey and Thiago alongside them.
I would expect them to err on the sort of side of being on the front foot because of where Southampton are. So then you'd say, well, Harvey's got more attacking, you know, more of an attacking mindset than Henderson has. It's tricky with them because they've lost a few experienced players. I mean, they lost Ings the other year and Redmond and people and Romeo, people who you just see they've been there for ages, and they've replaced them with a lot of young players. And now they've slipped down the table, they've sacked the manager, and you think, oh, well, that gamble's not worked. But then it could be one of those situations where it's like they're not scarred by previous hidings, and they just think, like Leeds the other week, they just think, well, we'll just, if it's we're in this game with 20 minutes to go, then great.
Yeah.
You know, they might not be thinking like, oh God, we're going to be defending, we're going to be fighting like beavers, as a... Cammy said, "Was it Chris? Yeah, it sounds like
it, mate.
Yeah, you know, they might. So I'm obviously hoping that that's not going to be the case. I'm hoping that, you know, you want a nice goal in the first 20 minutes or so, another one in the second half, and another one in, like, you know, that's Ben Doak in the 90th minute or something like that.
Ben Doak.
Clearly, the mission's been in recent weeks is to just, we've tried our best, hasn't always worked. Stop conceding goals in the first 15 minutes. Stop conceding the first goal. Be solid. Don't rush. Don't overcommit. And I'd like to go back to those kind of performances that 18, 19, and 19, 20 Liverpool had, where we just play the first half. We just play a game of football in the first half. And if a goal opportunity arrives, great. And you take it. Great. Yeah. Even better. But you get a feel for the game, you keep the door shut, you make resolute, you take the ball off them, and you start to, like, crush the life out of them in how you play. And then, with a little bit of analysis at halftime, you then go up a gear, you're attacking the cop, and you're going absolutely, well, you know, you put them to the sword. But in terms of what we're talking about there, you could do a break in the spirits, really. So I agree, a goal in the first 20 minutes for us, pretty, it doesn't put the game to bed, because loads of teams have taken encouragement from Liverpool, can be a bit weak when we overcommit, but it gives us a platform. That's what I'm hoping to see from us this time around. Right, we're going to be picking our 11s. We're going to be going through some of your comments and stuff as well in a minute, but it is time to pick the BetMate team for this week. Okay. Jamie and Abby, you have the job, as mentioned. You've got to pick 7 players that are on the pitch. You've got to pick your 4 substitutes. You can only pick a maximum of 6 from any team. So a maximum of 6 Liverpool players in there. We're going to start with the goalie.
Well, I want to speak to you about your... What's the deal? Is this like a trade secret that you're allowed to reveal? Opposition goalkeeper?
It's not a trade secret, because Chris Pajak basically had people messaging me to blame me for Liverpool not winning games.
Yeah.
I captained... the opposition goalkeepers in the Nottingham Forest and I think the Leeds game, and I come in and I did well in both of those. Let's just put it that way. Let me just double check.
My theory is
I captained Henderson and Melier in consecutive weeks. I finished 6th and won £32.50 in the Forest grand pot prize pool, and I won 54 and finished 4th in the Liverpool Leeds one as well, based on strong goalkeeping performances.
Because my theory is you always want to pick Alisson because he's more likely to keep a clean sheet, and we're playing a team that's weaker than us.
Yeah.
But that doesn't bring the money in, apparently.
No. Well.
But, well.
Maybe let's go with Paul's thing.
Well, Melier, I put him as captain.
I was going to say, I still think I want to pick Alisson.
You get a point for every shot saved by a goalkeeper. And I had him as captain, which doubles your points. So there's a tactical factor you might want to consider in
this. This is the trade secrets now, isn't it?
I'd imagine we're going to have more shots on
target. And if he plays a blinder as well. Yeah. But then you're guessing you get negative points for conceding goals.
Yep.
So we score 4 or 5.
Exactly.
You look into this so much. I did it with your dad the other weekend. We were like, should we just do Liverpool
Alisson, Trent, Robbo.
Should we just put Alisson in?
Right, go on, pick your goalie then.
Oh, we've run out of time. Hang on.
Yeah, if you pick your team, you've got to get it in quickly. So
sorry.
It's all right, we'll do that. You can get involved.
Too much time talking tactics.
By scanning the QR code, the link is in the description underneath. The guys are going to be picking through their team. Talk us through it then, you know, while we're waiting for that to reload. So you're thinking Alisson as the goalie?
Should we just Liverpool are going to keep a clean sheet.
Go for Alisson.
Yeah. So Ali in goal.
Yeah.
Okay. No messing about. 2 defenders.
Canate at the top there.
Do you have any strong inklings on to who your Southampton player in your starting team is going to be? Is anyone you're desperately looking for?
That's a good question.
Or Prowson or something.
Yeah.
Is that because the one you definitely know? That's exactly
it's literally predictable at this point.
Yes. Bella Kotschap's gone to the World Cup with Germany. So
he's got a little injury mark there, I think.
Do you want to take the chance, Jamie, on your head later? You've got to finish above Steve here.
Normally I just go Trent and Robbo because I think
so
they'll get
Calvin Ramsey in.
Can I just let you know how many assists has Trent Alexander-Arnold got this season?
None.
0.
Oh,
but he has scored 3 goals.
It's mad, isn't it? Yeah. It doesn't feel right.
I'd
put Canate in if it was me. Should we throw Canate in?
So
and Robbo, or are we?
Yeah, I'd say more Robbo than Trent.
We'll stick him in then.
Andy Robertson.
Just all Liverpool so far.
Yeah.
Centre-mids.
We're going... Oh, there's Maitland-Niles there. That's another player I've heard of. Should we go Ward-Prowse?
Yeah, yeah. Maitland-Niles is one of those got players who only ever seems to turn up in his career against Liverpool.
Put him in then.
Fabinho. I feel like maybe Elliot...
Yeah, if you think he's going to play. I think he's going to play.
I so do. I. Okay.
Put Harvey in then.
What if he doesn't play? Fabinho's definitely going to play, isn't he?
Is he?
Is he though? Is he I think out of all of them, Thiago is certainly going to play.
Should we stick Thiago? Yeah, all right.
He's
yeah.
the most likely.
Okay, you two at the forwards then.
Salah, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. Salah and Nunes.
Yeah, I'd say Salah and Nunes.
Yeah.
And okay. then just fill the bench with...
Yeah. Captain and vice-captain, important things. Captain is a double multiplier. Vice-captain is 1.5.
I'd captain Salah.
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got rid of him. Hang on. There he comes.
This is literally me. Yeah. Fantasy footy.
Captain he is.
Who are we having as vice-captain?
Do Alisson if you wanted to.
Okay.
If he's getting that clean
with
sheet.
The goalie.
Oh no, if he's getting that clean
yeah.
sheet that
okay.
we
no,
think
I like
he's
it, yeah.
getting.
I like
okay.
it. And then so now we need Southampton.
Sounds.
Just do the first.
Right,
four.
You guys pick your bench while we're doing that, let's have a look then at the teams that me.
Oh, do you want to do Salisson?
Yeah, and Chris have picked. Chris Pajac has gone with Alisson, Van Dijk, Konate. He has gone for, I can't read that from here, brilliant, and Thiago alongside.
Elianusu?
Yes, there you go.
Yeah.
I literally can't read that from here, wow. That's a worrying early sign. Salah and Nunes as captain and vice captain for Pajac. Okay, moving on. A shocked Steve Haw, that's his face when he found out he wasn't bottom of the overall league. Alisson, Robertson, Konate, Thiago, James Ward-Prowse, Salah and Firmino. Vice Salah, captain Firmino for Steve Haw.
A lot of faith.
And the team that I settled upon. Yep.
The keeper.
I've gone from the goalie.
I was going to say that's the same as ours, but different goalie.
I have vice captain the Southampton goalie. I've got Robertson and Konate as my defenders. I've got James Ward-Prowse and Thiago, captain Salah alongside Darwin Núñez. Yes. Play along at home. Make sure you are gamble aware. Make sure you're over 18 as well. If you're not into that kind of thing, then don't make us force you into any kind of major lifestyle changes or whatever. It is meant to be fun. It is supplementary to your life and to your footballing experience. So if you want to join us and beat Steve, then by all means do.
It's almost guaranteed that you beat Steve.
Yeah. If you've got the bottle, and I bottled it, by the way, this week, is that put the Southampton keeper in and captain him. I bottled that this
You're
week.
You're just sick of the grief off everyone.
I am sick of that. I'm sick. Our club legend Discord was chock full of people messaging me during the game against Leeds United, basically blaming me for losing that game. And that's all Chris Pajac's fault. Have you saved your team?
Yeah. We've saved the team.
Quality. Then we are good. Right, Sand, yeah. There is a free to enter pot. If you open the BetMate app and sign up using the referral code Redman5 if you're a new customer, you can log in. If you're not, click the join icon at the bottom and enter the pot code REDMEN, REDMEN, and you can play along with us for free in that as well. So yeah, the code is REDMEN and you can get involved. That should be very good indeed. Right, Sad. Let's crack on. Oh yeah. Oh, by the way, I just want to make a quick mention. The people at BetMate are actually are looking to take on people who want to invest in them as well. So if you want to get involved with that, then check out their socials for more details on that. I'd love to be able to give you more detail on it, but it's not something that I totally understand. So go and check their stuff if you want to find out more details. If you're enjoying playing along with them so far this season, anyway. Let's go through our 11s then. It's going to be decided by the midfield threes. Jamie, who has already said he's convinced that Fabinho is starting this game.
Yeah.
So it's the back four as expected.
Yeah.
And a midfield three of
Fabinho, Thiago, Harvey Elliott. I think that's me. That's if I'm the manager.
Unchanged then.
He might
from Tottenham. That's the same, isn't it? Unchanged.
He might play Henderson. I would start Elliot.
There's a slight chance the other alternative to this is it might be Henderson. It might be all three. It might be Fabinho, Thiago, Henderson. That's the other slight variation on that. I'm not against Jordan Henderson starting in the six. I think he's been pretty good in the six so far this season, and he has in general in his Liverpool career. I think you want to go best foot forward as well. So I think Elliot kind of needs to be on the pitch unless we've decided that we do need to be careful with his development. We don't want to overplay him.
That's the only thing, yeah.
But
I don't think you can drop like one of the top three best players we've had all season. Yeah. He's literally outperformed most of the midfield all season. Do you know
and
what
even
I mean?
That criticism of like, does he do the defensive work? I think that's been a bit overstated. He works so hard in the defensive side of things as well.
He doesn't stop all game, honestly. Like sometimes I look at Fab and Thiago and like I just think like Harvey's done better. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like look at Harvey, Harvey. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just don't think you can drop like the players that have been actually given a shit, basically.
No. I think it's an absolutely fair point on the Harvey Elliott thing.
I know
I'm
he's
sure.
young, but you know.
Yeah, no, I know he is, but again, you're right. He's playing well. He's performing, so he deserves his place. And if we feel this is a game that we're going to need to break Southampton down, then yeah, go for it. There is a thing of, we know now Jordan Henderson's going to the World Cup. I don't think he's going to play lots as much as I think. It should work the other way around. Like, international teams should very much think about how they take care of the club's players to make sure they're fit and available. The problem is that how well do you trust international teams, and how well do you, you know, do we trust England to not goose Jordan Henderson, you know, because Gareth Southgate is so desperate to chase not being lambasted by all the English media and all the people on social media when they inevitably get knocked out in the quarterfinals because that's how good England are. So maybe we do have to be a little bit careful, but I don't know. For this one, I'm going to go. I think it'll be Hendo in the six. I think it'll be Thiago, and I think it will be Harvey Elliott. Maybe I'm playing a bit of devil's advocate there, but I don't think it matters really. I mean, we're kind of like all of those midfield options are pretty much as good as each other.
Yeah.
I do think we move the ball a bit quicker when Henderson's in the six, and I think this is one of those games where if we're just looking to catch them flat-footed, Fabinho can come in at any point, you know, and he's another one again who's got, you know,
he's struggling.
He's got to think about his Brazilian place as well. He's another one who's not going to play, but yeah,
he's struggling now. The fact that Firmino didn't get into the squad as well, and then like the likes of Fabinho and that, who's literally like being shocking.
Fred,
I know it's different
Fred
positions,
in the
but yeah. Yeah.
Fred.
They've only got about five midfielders and about nine strikers. So
if you compare, if you compare like Jesus and Richarlison's like stats compared to Firmino, it makes me so angry. Because did you see the video of him, Richarlison sitting around with his family when they find out that he's in the squad, and they all start cheering? And I had this horrible image of Bobby sitting with his family and not finding out.
He drops his head down,
yeah,
and he just walks over to the piano and just starts banging out like a really sad version of Imagine.
I just had the vision of the opposite, you know what I mean? I was like, oh no.
Oh God, yeah.
Is the film on the cutting room floor of like Brazilian football? Like, oh, mate, not in the squad.
Messing.
You're messing. I'm well better than him.
Yeah, Bobby Firmino should very much.
Except in Portuguese.
Yeah.
Not you're messing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, what is you're messing in Portuguese? You let us know in the chat. That'd be absolutely great. Sad. We've got a couple of super chats in, actually. Some interesting ones from Tuckles here. Said, I'd love to see a video based on our players' heat maps. I love Harvey against tired legs, but he hurts Trent and Fab's positioning, in my opinion. And this is, Harvey doesn't complete the triangle in defence, leaves Trent exposed and pulls Fab out on the right, leaving holes. Love to hear your thoughts on my opinion. Thank you for the awesome content. I honestly can't tell you I know enough about it. I've looked periodically at the heat maps. I mean, literally, I could try and do it now, but you might have like 5 minutes of dead air while me staring at a screen and going, ugh. Well, I tried to pull up enough information on that. But it is actually an interesting point. I did notice on a heat map the other day that Fabinho was playing in a stripe through the middle of the team, but it was more right of centre. But I had no context for that. I've not noticed that before, so I couldn't tell you particularly whether he's generally more central or generally more left. My interpretation of that is he plays more to the right. My suspicion, and this is not based in fact, it's because Thiago drops in a lot. And you know, he is often a little bit, he's often deeper than Fabinho, and he's certainly more left-sided. He's more 6.5 than 8.5 when he plays in the midfield three, which would naturally cause Fabinho to hover over. But you might be spot on with that. I know I've seen that as a critique, but I can only think back to the other week when we brought Harvey on for Milner. What game was that? Ajax, was that? Napoli. And he was brilliant. You know, he was doing all the cutting down, cutting the passing lanes. I think if you're looking for someone who's going to be like properly shielding in right back, then it'd be nice to have a bit more physical presence. I agree, but his reading of the game, I think, in the when you're containing an opposition team in their half, I think Harvey's got that in his locker. There's no way I'm going to be able to find this data. I really, really want to find it for you, so I could be able to say unequivocally that is absolutely the case. But yeah, well, just Jamie, what are your thoughts on that?
I know what you mean. I think because he started off as a right winger, kind of, you know, cutting inside on his left foot, so maybe he's got that kind of instincts to go outside and these he plays the little 1-2s, doesn't he, with Salah and things like that. I think because he's physically smaller than the other midfielders, I think it's a natural thing for people to go, oh well, he'll get overrun in midfield. And he's not like, you know, he's not like Gennaro Gattuso or whatever, but he can obviously, he's going to learn, develop interceptions, pressing. I don't think he's ever going to be putting tackles in like Roy Keane or what, you know. Yeah. But he's definitely going to develop that side of his game. I in terms of the heat maps, I would have been interested to see Salah's, because it just seemed like he was definitely far further to the right in the first five, six games of the season. I know what you mean with like the kind of defensive vulnerability, because people just seem to come down, they target us down on
people
right
have always
a lot,
targeted us down on right. So like, it's like people saying it's a new fucking thing.
Yeah,
people have always done it. And again, it goes back to my argument about Trent, without, sorry to pick up the baton and shout at it, like Trent has always, that has always happened. Now again, this is where I think this is where the next logical step is, because I think this is a bit of a Trent defence, which I think is fair to do. If we've always been targeted down that side, and we've always had a really good defensive record, all told, in terms of goals conceded and what have you, then it stands to reason that it might be a problem in front of the defence and not the defence itself. And I do tend to agree with that. And it's whether is Fabinho being left to do too much, and I think that's a perfectly reasonable point or concern to raise. I don't know enough about it to be able to say one way or the other, because it still feels to me like I think Fabinho's just a bit sluggish this season.
He's looked like he's been drowning, like literally drowning. But I don't know whether that's because of the formation as well. Do you know what I mean? Has he got too much to do? Because he just looks like he's literally, like, the ground's going to swallow him up sometimes. Do you know what I mean? The amount of times he's lost the ball and stuff.
Yeah, in all that time, I've managed to look at the heat maps of three different games them? And I couldn't, honestly, it doesn't prove or disprove it one way or the other. I'd need to get more data on that one. But definitely an interesting point. We'll be doing some stats specials and stuff over the winter break on Redmen Plus. Chris is better at this stuff than I am. So, yeah, if you've got anything that you particularly want us to look at, then yeah. But thank you so much to Tuchels there for the super chats. And hopefully we've not disappointed you too badly by not having the instant answer to in-depth tactical questions about
you need a dossier like Bielsa, don't you?
I'm more hopeful that Pep, Linders and Klopp know the answer than me at this point, but we'll have to see on that one. Let's have a little look at the other Premier League fixtures this weekend. Manchester City host Brentford in the 12:30 kickoff. I think anyone who's smart has got a Haaland triple captain for that one, and we'll expect Man City to wipe the floor with them. It's therefore one of those games where I have a little sneaky back of my mind thing where it wouldn't shock me if Brentford nicked something. Tony with a big point to prove.
That's what I was thinking, a point to prove. I mean, I'm so stupid I am. And me fantasy footy, I've captained Haaland and then vice-captained Ivan Tony.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just thought, you never know. Why not? You never know.
We're the 3 o'clock, and amongst the 3 o'clock, Bournemouth host Everton. Ooh, wow. The infamous game, of course, with all the Evertonians spilled onto the ground in their Lonsdale slip-ons. They'll be looking for another one of those again. West Ham host Leicester. Really interesting to see where the Leicester's sort of rejuvenation in recent weeks continues, and West Ham are a little bit in the doldrums.
Is Frank, I know we're stepping on our neighbours, so is Frank in real trouble if they lose that game, do you think?
I think that will be the game where the fans start to turn a bit. Now, yeah. I did the overlap this week with Baz from Toffee TV, and he was like, no, you know, still fully behind Frank Lampard. And I asked the question, does he still get his, you know, and apparently he still gets Everton, really gets them. And
they lost to Bournemouth like 2 days ago as well, didn't they, in the cup? But like 4-1, wasn't it? So I'm not being funny, but, you know, Bournemouth have got the mental like point already. Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, but it's a big game for them. They need a response, and that's the worst thing for them is that League Cup is so derided that everyone sees it as an easy competition to win. But when you're a team that hasn't won a trophy in forever, when you go, well, maybe if we put a cup run together, and then you get knocked out at like first or second, the second opportunity depending on what round you enter into it, the real frustration on there. So that's. I'm starting to see a few, because look, you're starting to see those stats. There's the one last week that even if Everton win this game, they can't even match Rafa Benitez's points total in this amount of games from last season.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, and we all know it doesn't matter, because there was ages where Brendan Rodgers' win percentage was better than Jurgen Klopp's in like the first 18 months of his Liverpool career or whatever. Counts for fuck all, really. It's how you feel about your manager and how bought into you are to what they're doing. But I think, that will be interesting to see how they handle that.
There was the thing with them, it was like, they're unbeaten in seven or something, and like six of them were draws. And I think like that's not great form, is it, in terms of picking up points?
Goes back to what I was saying before, though, depending on where you are in the table and what your context is, what's perceived to be a good run of form is entirely different. We're used to having to win 32 games a season for it to be a good season, even not because you might not even win the league title. These are in a spell where not losing multiple games back to back is seen as a real win. Spurs host Leeds. It'd be lovely if Leeds could beat someone. I need Leeds and Forest to fucking beat someone else good, so I feel less bad about what they did to us.
Yeah, I'm like that.
Forest host Crystal Palace. Who gives a shit about that one? Ultimately, Newcastle Chelsea. Ho 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 ho.
That's the one to watch.
The old big money boys versus the new big money boys at St James's Park as well. That will be a really interesting watch at half five Saturday. Wolves Arsenal is a 7:45 on Saturday night as well. That's another one where Wolves are obviously absolutely shite at the moment and would normally be the kind of team that would cause Arsenal problems, but Arsenal are flying. Brighton Villa, really interesting test there again. When you're looking at Unai Emery, and it's now his second proper game, not counting the League Cup, obviously they're playing United tonight. Whether he can start to turn the corner for them, and then Fulham play the aforementioned Manchester United at 4:30. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because the most important thing here is that Liverpool just win and everyone else can get fucked. I don't care about anyone else's results, really. You know, there's obvious ones if the teams above us can drop points, but there is a nice little world here where we can start the weekend with a win against Southampton and we can be sent off to the World Cup with Man United losing away to Fulham. And I'll absolutely take that. That would be a stellar way to see the proper football take a little bit of a hiatus. But let us know your thoughts on any of those fixtures in the comments. Which one are you going to be tuning in for? Which one do you think harbours the most chance for an upset or will be the best watch of the lot? You're going to get plenty more content between us here and a kickoff as well. Steve has done the starting 11 prediction already. I was over doing a journo insight with Neil Jones, really delving into the behind the scenes stuff of what we know so far on FSG and the takeover and all that kind of thing as well. That's streaming on Redmen Plus right now, and there will be the watch along at the weekend. We'll also have Jurgen Klopp's press conference on YouTube and available on podcast and apps as well. Right, let's have a score prediction for this one. Jamie, what do you think?
2-0. I don't think a hammer in, but I just don't want any drama.
Okay.
Just please.
That'll do. Abby?
Yeah. I'll say 3.
I think 3.
Maybe 2 for Salah. Maybe an Ibu header. Maybe. Ooh. That's what I think. I need to put a bet on for that.
Yeah.
Now I've said it, if it happens.
Yeah, you're kicking yourself. I want this. I'd like us to put a performance on here, and I've kind of mentally got 3-0 in my head. And this might be a bit greedy given how we have really struggled for consistency this season, when, let's be honest, beggars can't be choosers. I would take a 94th minute last minute deflected goal to get us the 3 points here, because it's more important than anything. Pardon me, but however, I've got a sneaky feeling this is like a this is a real put on a show for the fans kind of game. If we treat it the right way, if they put the right level of endeavour in, they keep the door shut, don't do anything stupid, which we've done a lot this season, this would be a good time to make sure we've definitely stopped that. I'm saying three, but I could see this being a four or five if we do all the right things.
Nice, wouldn't it?
God, I hope so. What's your score prediction? Let us know if you're live here in the comments, if you're after the fact on YouTube in the comments, if you ever listen to us on podcast and apps, make sure that you leave a 5-star review on you know, Spotify and Apple Music and all that good stuff as well. That all helps. But yeah, if you want more content from us, then check out redmenplus.com. And as mentioned, if you then do that, you are entitled to 2 free tickets to come to our subscriber social event, 4 till 8 p.m. And let's be honest, it's in Coyote Ugly with Chris Pajak. So that is very much an advisory basic time. That's like a minimum requirement. There's no way that doesn't go on beyond 8 p.m. But yeah, if you're a subscriber to Redmen Plus at any tier, then if you get 2 free tickets, the code will be emailed to you in your welcome email. And then you go on Skiddle, you put the code in, and then you get your 2 tickets and you come and scan them on the door. And then you can come and have a bevy and a sing song with us on Sunday. You know, if you're in a boss mood, then you can sort that out late doors. If you're looking for some commitment, we're very good at doing that. We've had end of season parties when we've lost the title on the last day and we've had a boss time, so we're gonna have a great time this time around. So yeah, hope to see you guys over there. If you're on YouTube, you can scan the QR code to go there, or just go to redmenplus.com and sign up manually. That would be great. Anyway, Abby, thank you so much. Jamie, thank you so much. And for you guys as well, the final match build up for a month and a bit, it's been an absolute pleasure for this mid-season. More a pleasure doing these and less at times watching the actual football, but fingers crossed, Liverpool have turned the corner. Let's make it 4 wins to finish off this little period, and we can all go to the World Cup just craving more Liverpool. That'll be amazing.
Thanks for listening. If you want even more Bosch content and podcasts just like this, go over to redmenplus.com and sign up now.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.